We're going to the game.
You know what? I don't want to play defense.
Are you kidding me?
It's game noon.
What the hell's going on? You're playing it safe.
I'm brick.
It's amazing. No way in hell I'm touching it.
Are you kidding?
That was really fun.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Anomaly. I'm your host, Adrian Todzinegan. It's been nothing but mic issues over here. And the Yeti Nano seems basically to be a device that creates an echo in an otherwise silent room. I'm doing my best, but I do want to thumb my own eye out. So that's where we're at right now. Very excited to have you listening today. Let's just start it off with what I love. This is a solo episode, and I don't think we need anybody else for all the crap I'm just going to scream about. First of all, what do I love this week? There is the Player One podcast, and they brought up Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 featuring me. So if you play that game, and if you play it all the way through with a user skater, create a skater, then at the end you'll unlock a video. And that video features me. Not only me, it features basically the Neversoft team skating, right? But it also at one point shows a skinny dipshit on the top of a half pipe. I still remember the shirt I was wearing. I promised Greg Seward, and I guess CJ by default, that I would tell this story. But so let's just back up all the way, and I'm going to tell you the whole story. So what happened is I was working official PlayStation Magazine. This would have been back in, I want to say 2010, but that's insanely late. I would have to say it was probably 2007, 2008. And Tony Hawk's Pro, and I could Google this, but then the microphone will pick up every echo. And then you'll be like, I could care less. I just want to know the story. Why is he still delaying? So basically, I went to San Diego to interview Tony Hawk. And at official PlayStation Magazine at the time, this would have been the second feature written under the new John Davison, hey, we're going to do a lifestyle magazine. So I had this wild idea to basically write the story from the perspective that Tony Hawk was not a famous skater, but he was a video game character. That was sort of the thing. And I'd never written a feature for a magazine before. And my fiction, like all the books I ever wanted to write and all the ways that I would write a poem or any weird thing, like I was like, oh, this is a cool moment. I'm going to write a totally batshit version of this story that no one could ever imagine. And when I first let them read it, John was like, holy shit, like this is wild. Like this is exactly what I want to do with the magazine, but I could have never seen this coming. It was very strong and very positive response. And I'm just telling you this part of it because I think it's interesting. And I ended up winning the Ziff Davis, which is like an internal award, but I won a feature writing award. And what I did with that was every time after that award was announced, first of all, I called myself an award-winning journalist and still do. It's an internal award, but it's a media company. I feel like that's fine. But I will always refer to myself as an award-winning journalist. In fact, I don't think I put it on my resume when I was updating that recently. One fun process every 4 years. But I do like to say it. And so here's what happened. After I won that award, which totally was a shock. I didn't even know we had these awards. And then I won. It was the first thing I'd won that was of any magnitude. And so what I would used to do is when we were doing the next issue, I'd kind of walk around the cubicles and somebody would be like, hey, what do you think of this headline? And I was like, well, I was an award-winning journalist. And within basically, I would say 16 to 20 hours, like people wanted to murder me because I prefaced everything with, well, as an award-winning journalist, this is what I think. So it was pretty much like, if you don't stop, we are gonna chop off most of your limbs. Okay, so that's what happened after. But during, so I went to San Diego, I ate at the Cheesecake Factory with Tony Hawk. And then after that, I went to go hang out with the Neversoft team. I hung out with Rodney Mullen, the skater, who he's just like a weird, quirky dude, but just a sweetheart, just a really interesting guy. And we had a photographer because we were trying to do way cooler stuff than just screenshots and things like that. And at one point, I was like, oh, I'm going to lay down and you just ollie over me, or you do like some crazy trick over me. And he's like, okay, well, we'll do it. They did all kinds of cool stuff. He was awesome. But after the Rodney Mullen part of it, and this, Tony Hawk wasn't involved in this. So there is a version of the story where I say I skated at Tony Hawk's house. Not true. This is the only time I will tell this story completely factually. But I've like twisted and you know, whatever. So after that, the Neversoft team is like, hey, we're going to go over and skate. And so I went only because I thought Tony Hawk might show up. So I won't deny that that was true. It's incredible to me how much of this story I remember. But pretty much all of it. I was wearing a button-down shirt with a t-shirt under it, as is my American way at the time. And it was a shirt that I'd found at a thrift store. It was yellow, and it was it's almost like corduroy, but it wasn't in any way corduroy. It was a polyester shirt. And this is such an irrelevant detail, but I'm just now remembering the feel of that shirt. So I get to the Neversoft place. They're like, there's a half pipe in the dude's backyard. And this is, I guess, the guy who ran Neversoft at the time, which was this really great dude who had like bushy hair. I think he had a mustache. Just a great dude who was just like, wild. I live in San Diego. I'm making one of the most popular video games in the world. Who saw this coming? I'm stoked. I'm hanging out with cool people. The team was great. Like, everybody was fucking cool. So at one point, somebody's like, well, do you want to take a turn? And I was like, I'm good. They're like, come on, blah, 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 do it. And I was like, peer pressure almost never works on me. But I was like, you know what? I've never skated before. Let's start at the top. So I take a skateboard and I start getting up onto the half pipe. And the guy goes, whoa, 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 you got to put on a helmet. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. And then I get up on the half pipe and they tell me what to do. And basically, when you're on a half pipe, what you do is you put the edge of the board, like the little curvy bit at the end, you step on that, and then you lean forward and you go down the half pipe and I guess just go back up the other side. Who knows? Like, the story I'm about to tell, if I would have succeeded, I don't know what I would have done. It's like, after I succeed, I would just shit myself and then just fall and tumbled like through the universe. I don't know what could have stopped me. But so I get up there, and if you've never been on a half pipe, like a regular one, just like a 6 foot one, you like, when I say it now, it makes a little more sense. It's a 6 foot half pipe. But when I was doing it, like when I heard that, I was like, whatever, it's a curved deal. But once you get up there and you're looking down, it's 6 foot up. You're 6 foot high. And if you think about what 6 foot high looks like, if you're going to jump down, like 4 foot high, you're like, okay, I got a bad knee, but I can handle this. 6 foot, you're like, oh, this is how people actually have like freak injuries and blow out shit in their leg. Like there's some kind of pro athlete. So I'm up there and it has occurred to me that this is a terrible, terrible idea. And I do believe the very first one, was it the first one they recorded? I actually don't know if it was the first or third. I went three times. I'll get to it. So I'm up there and I'm just like, I don't know how to do this. And the guy goes, slam that truck down, which is what you'll hear in the Tony Hawk video. And so that implies to me that the one that they recorded was not the first one. But anyway, I'm up there and they're just like, yeah, just push forward. So I'm like, okay, here's something I've learned about myself. A, can't stand roller coasters, can't stand anything to do with those things. In fact, like I've started to get motion sick and like vertigo-y on like bus rides lately. So I think like my heyday of whatever the fuck I was doing, where I did whatever I wanted and like traveled the world, there's something in my head that's just like, okay, maybe sit down and write. That's your favorite thing. That's what you're good at. Let's go ahead and capitalize on those efforts instead of doing stupid shit like being on a bus in the middle of Scotland or something. Okay, so I'm up there. I'm like, oh, this isn't a good idea. This is way down. But I mean, everybody before me, they were skating. This can't be that hard. People do it. I mean, sure, I can't do an ollie, but that's all like clunky and timing, or I don't know what, how to do that. I mean, the physics of it makes sense. I can't pull it off. But this is simple. I'm just going down a ramp, you know, like no big deal. It's like sledding, only on my feet. So I start going down. I decide, okay, I'm going to do this. This is dumb. And immediately, within like a second, because this is an important thing to know. If you ever, I guess I should explain. No, why would I explain this to you? I did what is about to be told. The thing is, when you go down, the trick is that you're supposed to put, it's like almost the way I think of it now, is you're supposed to put your face straight down. And that way, when you hit the curve, like the bend of the ramp, obviously I'm technically proficient at this if I'm calling it what I'm calling it. But when you do those things, you need to be pushed down on the front truck, basically. That's the whole deal. Everything is about that front truck. So when I leaned down, I was like, oh, I'm about to go face first, straight down 6 feet, which you're supposed to step on the board and then that will take you away. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to fucking just put my face straight down 6 feet. So I lean back and within half a second, the board flies out, like enough to go through a window and kill somebody. And I just fall on my left hip and my head goes back and hits the ramp so hard that if I did not have a helmet on, my head would have exploded. Like literally, it would have just been like a headless body just laying on a ramp and everybody would have gone, well, maybe we should have gone another route today. But instead, I hit my head so hard it like clambers off. But I don't know what you're doing in their life. Wear a skateboarding helmet. I didn't feel shit. I was like, oh, okay. But I did feel shit in my hip, which was like, oh, wow, we really hit that directly. Imagine taking someone from 6 feet up and just tossing them over the side and them just slamming down on their hip as hard as the guy said, slam your truck down. Okay, that's try number one. I know I will never do this at this point, but I also know that I'm myself and I'm like, well, if I can't do it, that's messes with some aspect of my psyche and I know I can do it. All I have to do is try again. Try again, same thing happens. I don't hit my head as hard somehow, but I hit my hip with triple the pain. Now, it's important to know that there's a woman named Rhyming Poon and she works for Activision and she is watching this. She's watching a journalist she brought out to write a story about her game. She is a responsible individual, and she is terrified. And everybody that's not terrified is a maniac. And I think that's everybody else, because skateboarding is some kind of, like, masochism. Is it masochism or sadism? In the moment, it doesn't matter. Both, probably. But basically, you give your body up for skateboarding. I mean, we all understand that. If you've ever been on a skateboard, then you've fallen off a skateboard or you've something not great has happened where you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to keep doing that and get better, or this is dumb as shit. I'm a dumb as shit guy overall, but there was something about being on a half pipe that did not make me a dumb as shit guy. In fact, if it were on concrete, I would have been out of there. I would have been like, no, I don't want to skin my knee. But the fact that I nearly split my grape, the fact that my hip was now like, I couldn't feel it after the second one. And I was like, oh, wow, that's not great. I should be done. And then they're like, do you want to try again? You don't have to now. We've seen that your bravado and your willingness is not going to be matched with an ability to not die. So now it's like dawning on everybody that Rhyming is right, that I don't have what it takes. But I'm like, you know what? I've done it twice. I finally get it. So I go up for the video that is that you can joyfully see. I'm sure it's online somewhere if you go on YouTube. Unlocks like for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, create a player video. Let's try that. I can't find it for you because this mic will explode. And in fact, just by leaning back half an inch, like it looks like it's muting me on the whatever. Doesn't matter. This is so annoying to me. This Yeti mic, it's a trick. Mike Young, creative director at EA Sports, he gave it to me when my other one just quit working. It's all his fault. Felt like a real generous offer, but now I know that he's given me a dud mic to ruin my podcasting career. That said, I go up a third time. Is it a final time? We're about to find out. Yes. I go up. I get up there, and what has dawned on everyone else now has dawned on me. this is dumb, this is dangerous, and the thing they don't know is I'm not going to do it right. I just know I'm not going to do it right. Because I psychologically, it's like when I learned to drive a stick shift. I laid in bed and I was like, left foot up, right foot down, et cetera, whatever it is, right? I knew, like in my mind, I figured it out. And so what I needed to do was go to bed and be like, oh, you lean forward and like you basically risk your face. And then right when your face is about to meet the road, it'll tilt up and then you're good, right? But I didn't understand that. I was just like, oh yeah, what I'm doing is wrong, but I just got to try again. Wow, I can't feel my hip. So I go down a final time. This is the slam your truck down. Everybody's encouraging but scared. And I go and I do it this time. No, I don't do it this time. Same as the other times, only this time, instead of dropping me on my hip from, say, 6 feet or throwing me on my hip doubly hard, this time it's like I've been shot out of a cannon and all I am is a hip. So all there is to hit the ground is a hip, and it's a direct hit. So you can see, I fall down in the video and I roll over and everybody's like, oh, nice try, dipshit. And I kick my leg, I think it's my right leg, like twice. And then I roll over and I stand up and I make a wave as I walk off. I had an elbow guard too. That was it. I could not feel my hip. And by the time we had, Ryan Mang was like, okay, we're good. That was fun. Let's get out of here. She took me to a restaurant. We were going to grab some food. And I was limping severely. I was like, oof, wow. Yeah, you really can't be dropped on your hip repeatedly. It really takes a toll. So, I was fine. I was fine. 3.5 to 4 weeks later, when my swollen hip, that, by the way, the bruise was like purple, yellow. It was fucked. Such a terrible idea for somebody who, and now I've just blown somebody's eardrum. I apologize. Such a terrible idea for somebody who had never skateboarded. No fault to the Neversoft guys. They were totally right on. Like, I think it was awesome. And so I, four weeks later, let's say my hip was in working order. I was back to normal. And then when the game came out and I won it, or I'm sorry, I wrote about it, whatever. The game came out, I played it, and then I unlocked that and I saw, it shows me on the half pipe, and then a little arrow circles, or I get circled and a little arrow says, never skated before. And then I go and I fall. So, and it's just a very small moment, but it's pretty fantastic. And man, being immortalized is painful. This story, like, is one of my great video game journalist stories, and that's been a big part of my life. So it was wild and it was dumb. And so Tony Hawk wasn't there. That wasn't my first time. Oh, it was my first time skating. But the video you see is my third time. And I think everything else is pretty much known. But if you tell somebody this story, tell them it was at Tony Hawk's house, or Tony Hawk was there and was most impressed. I think I haven't actually said that about that, but yeah. All right, now for what I hate this week. Hilarious. This show usually starts with the love and hate. If this is your first time listening, this time the love was pretty long. And I had a totally different love that I forgot about, but that's fine. I've got next week to love that. What I hate this week is no check swing in MLB The Show. I would love to be dropped on my head as opposed to my hip when I play too much MLB The Show. It's really obnoxious because I've been playing Road to October, which is more like Road to me winning 54 games. I'm so frustrated with it, and I want to murder most of a small family. I'm not going to go on a whole, I'm going to go, I almost made a horrible joke. I'm not making those jokes. But I'm talking about murdering a whole family, a small family, and like whatever else I would say was worse. Fine. It's America 2021. But yeah, the no check swing drives me nuts. And the reason it drives me nuts is I check my swing 30% of the time, cannot break this habit, and a check swing is a strike. So the problem is, here's how I sort of think about it in my brain. Just like in real baseball. It's like I'm taking the step and I'm putting my face where the pitch is. Like I'm really leaning into it. So I sort of do that with the A button. Like I'm just sort of like, all right, I'm just sort of really focusing on a pitch that I'm not going to swing at. That's just sort of the mentality. But the way I do that is just sort of tap the A button. If you tap the A button, it's a strike. You're fucked. Yet there's no ever, I've never tapped the A button for a check swing and it's like hit the bat and like chipped it over the first baseman. There's no benefit to this. There's only loss and loss and loss and loss for me. It drives me crazy. Which brings me to my next hate. Usually it's a one hate show, but I'm going to keep going because MLB The Show and the fucking, excuse my language, but that mode is just like a punishment. And it even lowered my difficulty to veteran. So I'm even more baffled, but, I think they put a, actually, I don't hate this, but there's something I hate after this, but they ran a pitcher to start the 10th inning, just like Tony La Russa. So MLB The Show doesn't know the rules, so I'm less mad at Tony La Russa, who it's just like, well, now he knows. You know, it's like when people condescend to you and they're like, oh, you didn't know this thing that I know, and you're a big idiot. I was like, well, I know it now, and now you have, like, so little to go on in your life, and I have a wealth of knowledge that you don't have, so, and I'm not even going to bring it up, because just the way you act, it sucks so bad. Nothing I'm saying makes too much sense, but it makes a lot of sense to me. Finally, my last hate, and really my second hate, the perfect pitch. So I'm doing the pinpoint pitching, which I enjoy. I think it's cool. But a lot of times I'm just like, there's no ability to, sorry, I got a little distracted because I have a league game on in the background on Twitch and it keeps disconnecting because the guy is streaming. So he should quit that. When I'm playing with the pinpoint pitching, the perfect pitch is when you time it all right, you release it at the right moment. And I would say in the history of the game, I've done the perfect pitch where it's like 100% accuracy and then 100% timing five times, which I've thrown probably, I don't know, 2,000 pitches, probably more than that. Every time I make a perfect pitch, of the five times I've done it, the ball has been driven for at least a single, but the most recent time was a home run, and I was just like, why am I doing this? I should just throw a fucking scrub-ass pitch that maybe nips the corner or whatever, but every time I throw a perfect pitch, it seemed like I would get an advantage, but all I'm doing is giving up bombs. It's just totally insane. It drives me crazy. Now I'm getting mad about it. It's so stupid. Why is a perfect pitch to my detriment? I get it 5 out of 5,000 times and you're fucking me? Give me a break, MLB The Show. You're driving me crazy. Like, first of all, every challenge you give me, I'm fucked because I basically swing at every pitch because I can't check a swing. Plus, I'm already swinging at every pitch. It's totally absurd. I'm just like, why am I doing this? Why am I like 38 and 54? What world do I come back and be a 500 team? What world do I finally, does it lower itself from veteran to stupid joker, and then I can finally like score 2 runs in a game? I always love it. It like puts me down 2-0 in the seventh. It's like, come back for the comeback victory. I'm like, hey, how about this? How about I scratch across one hit, I bunt with Anthony Rizzo to the left side so I can beat the shift, and that's it. Like, that's it. And then the rest of it, when I get a base runner on and the ball gets hit fair, I fucking dick around with a base runner on accident. I stole a base the other day, or tried to, and then the guy went to second, the catcher threw to second, and then I somehow just stopped in between first and second. Here's the best part. I just stood there. I didn't know what to do to make him go back or go forward. He just stood there, and that gave them enough time to just run over and tag me. In fact, I think I'm wrong about that. I think it was a comebacker to the pitcher. Or maybe I got picked off. It didn't matter. But whatever it was, I hit a button that just made me stand direct. It was like exactly 45 feet between first and second. And I was just like, fucking do something. Like, the game should do something to help me. That's so dumb. And yet, if I went into the menus and changed it, that would make me feel like a big moron. I don't want to do that either. It just should be more intuitive, and I should have a camera angle that makes any sense for what I'm running the bases. It's so dumb. I just don't like it. And I love baseball, and I want this game to be great. But that brings me up to the next most important thing. Breaking news. All right, here's some huge news that makes me feel better about everything I just said. I should also say, before I get to the breaking news, I like MLB The Show. I think it's great. Baseball's awesome. The game's awesome. But I think I need a camera angle that's like up and back. So I'm sort of seeing it from a new perspective. None of the angles in there are giving me what I need. Because I just can't. It's like I have no understanding of where I am or where the ball is. And every ball that looks like it's down the middle is gonna like break wide and just be unhittable, even with a contact swing. So I just have no sort of, like, I played baseball. I know exactly where I need to be positionally to like see the ball well. And the game's just not giving it to me. So as for the breaking news, EA Sports has bought Metalhead Software. If you know Metalhead Software, which I'm sure you do, you're a card-carrying member, right next to your ACLU card, you're a subscriber to Metalhead Software, which would be a card you made on your own, which would be awesome if you actually had a Metalhead Software card. Or if you work there, then you probably are a card-carrying Metalhead Software. It doesn't matter. This is a weird thread. Okay. Metalhead Software makes Super Mega Baseball. They just got bought from EA. Let's think about what that means. Meaning number A, I would say that means that Super Mega Baseball is going to be an MLB game within a year, 2 years. It's got to be. And if you give me, it's funny because it feels like we've gotten away from arcade sports, but Super Mega Baseball is so good, just so fun. Think of it as Baseball Stars meets the other game that I thought of the other day when I was describing it to my friend. Baseball Stars meets, what am I thinking of? It doesn't matter, but it reminds me of something. Actually, I texted him. So I'm going to pause this podcast without pausing it and check my texts. Baseball Stars. See, and now you're hearing some weird stuff because the mic. Oh, RBI Baseball meets old RBI Baseball. Meets Baseball Stars. So I'm a big fan of it. It's, you know, like people are just super meaty. The hitting simple, over-breaking curveballs, that kind of stuff. Just really, really fun, smart, intuitive. I don't strike out. I don't run the bases like a total knob. Like, it feels good. So I think we're going to see that game, which is such a well-put-together game. I'm so impressed by Metalhead. I think we're going to see that game with an MLB license. That's the number one. The other thing I think, I hope, this is actually, I don't know if I think this is what I hope. I hope Metalhead, they're talking about how they want more talent from Metalhead because Metalhead's such a great developer that people are like, oh, they're going to pull people from their teams and put them on EA's teams. If that's the case, fantastic. Start with Madden. And let's try to do something different. But that's not happening. So I think what you have is I should have other people on this podcast sometimes, like this time. But the idea of them having these guys come on and do arcade versions of something else, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be cool. I mean, I hope that EA really takes this opportunity and was like, oh yeah, I remember when we were the worldwide leader in sports. Like, we had everything. Now we don't have a bunch of stuff. Now they're bringing back golf. Now they're bringing back baseball. I don't know. I think it's a really cool opportunity. And if nothing else, maybe they go, you know what? We don't need the MLB license. This game's so good. We're just going to put the EA logo on it, which doesn't really make sense. If it's in the game, it's in the game kind of thing. Doesn't work for a game that has a bunch of arcadey weirdness. But at the same time, maybe there's an opportunity for arcadey weirdness to come back if it's really fun and intuitive. And I don't think we need an NFL blitz. We certainly don't need the yard. But I think it might be interesting to see what these guys might be able to do. I think I had a whole point that just wasn't good about this, and I'm fine with it. And really, MLB for this would be great. I think we're ready. I think we're ready to just have some fun sports games that aren't as serious. I could be wrong about that. All right, final thing. I just want to talk about the rookies that are going to be appearing in Madden. I won't go on about this too long, but they're just some rookies that I'm excited about, starting with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I don't know that I get too excited for a quarterback that can't run, you know, like really, really run. But it'll just be cool to have a dude who's, you know, coming out with like an 85 accuracy to start. I just drafted a rookie superstar quarterback through our screwed up draft. Actually, I had to trade for him, but he's a superstar, and I've already got him up to like 81 accuracy across the board. And I really want him to be where Derek Carr is, the guy who I just started my last game. I was a 90 short accuracy, but that's not happening anytime soon. But I feel like Trevor Lawrence could legit be a guy who's got like great accuracy out of the gate. And also, just, you know, Jacksonville sucks, so it'll be fun to have him in the mix. Devonta Smith for the Eagles. You know, Jalen Hurts throwing to him is a little bit weird if Jalen Hurts in Madden 21 is any sign. But I think he's just going to be a total baller as a wide receiver. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like Troy Jackson with better size. Did I say Troy Jackson? Is that who I'm talking about? It's not Troy Vincent. Let me Google Troy Jackson, because I've definitely misnamed this guy. It doesn't matter. I'm so dumb tonight, which is fine. Also, I've gotten the second vaccine 3 days ago, so not that that makes me less dumb, but just so you can be stoked for me in general. There is also Micah Parsons, the linebacker for the Cowboys. That's going to be fun. Just to give them like that big just stud to run game on folks, basically, from linebackers. Fantastic. Kyle Pitts, how fun is it going to be to have a tight end that's basically like a wide receiver? Jamar Chase is going to be great for the Bengals. Like, I mean, there's been no shortage of having a great receiver for them to throw to, but I'm excited about that. Justin Fields is probably the number one guy I'm excited about, just because it gives them like a complex quarterback. Like, that team is so desperate for a quarterback. I just want him to be good for Bears fans in general and for Michael Wilbon on the PTI show. Jalen Waddle, another guy. Like, this draft and the receivers that went early, it actually reminds me of a Madden draft that we've had. We've had just stunners coming out in the first round from at wide receiver. It's just great. And if of all these people, I would probably say Trey Lance is the most exciting, because that's a guy you can put the story on more than anybody. That's also a real guy. Like, Trevor Lawrence, he's known. He's a known entity. But Trey Lance, like, that's just fun. I mean, just an athletic guy who's going to be awesome in all kinds of ways. One guy I'm not excited about, Zach Wilson. He's got a boring name, as we talked about last podcast. And he just doesn't thrill me. Doesn't do it for me. But yeah, we'll be talking more about these guys as they get their ratings and things like that. But I don't know. It's just exciting. It's fun to know a new crop is coming. The pandemic made it seem like everything was a chore and would just hit you in the face with a tennis racket every time you thought about life. But now we're going to have rookies in the game that, like, and also the fans and the crowd will be real, because we're going to be doing that again. I want to talk about the NBA play-in game and why it's so fantastic, but I'm going to do that next time, because that's how it's going to work. But thank you once again for listening. I'm going to shut up. Oh, Netflix Minute. Let me tell you something. I should be naming these sections after the people that fund the show, because patreon.com/sportsanomaly, we have incredible people. Perfect Tommy, Jennings Gabriel, Fats Ducati, who are usually assigned to these things so they can hear their names called out when I'm talking about different sections of the show. But for the Netflix Minute, I just have to look something up. But, I'm getting weird feedback, and I don't like it. You guys are going to be like, oh, cool, another some cool, not able to be listened to situation. Sounds fun. Okay. I've seen 5 movies this month, and I'm going to say Sound of Metal. I've written a script that is very Sound of Metal-y, but in a totally different capacity, which hopefully I'll be talking about in 6 months or less. But Sound of Metal got nominated for the Oscar. It's on Amazon, so you can watch it for free if you are a Prime guy or gal. And it's pretty strong. It's just a really fantastic movie, super well written. And yeah, you're going to like it. That's it. That's our show. We'll be back next week.